You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamaria, good morning, Kua Hana Ross, Toku Ingoa, and welcome to this week's bits. If you have been listening to The Wire lately, you might have noticed that we have been doing some very centralised weeks, focusing on main issues parties are focusing on coming up to the election in a couple of weeks' time. Last week, we had education as our main topic, and this week we had the New Zealand economy. To start off, Jack Marshall spoke to Aucklanders to get their thoughts on the future of work.
What are your thoughts on New Zealand's economy at the moment?
Well, I think that New Zealand economy is what people make it out to be. Okay, if you just sit on your ass and expect the money to come to you, it's not going to come to you. I mean, there's work out there. You just got to go and find it. And what you do is when you find something, you don't settle for just that one little job. You always strive to get something better.
Well, I do a Bachelor of Commerce, so I like to call that the employable degree.
Yeah. What kind of job would be left in 20 years' time?
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of office jobs doing a lot of admin stuff. I doubt there'll be less handiwork.
Have you seen those videos of robots like building buildings and stuff like that?
Yeah, and even like robots just in people's houses just doing household chores. Do it yourself.
Yeah.
Don't just think it's going to come to you. You have to go out and get it. A lot of people think, oh, there's no jobs out there. Oh, I've put in 20 applications. Well, if you've put in 20 applications and if you've been turned down 20 times, why don't you try a different approach, a different job? If you put in 20 applications for like restaurant and you can't get in the restaurant, try something else. Mm-hmm. There's always work. You just have to go out and get it. I don't care if you have to pick apples. I don't care if you have to sell encyclopedias. I don't care if you have to go door to door and sell vacuum cleaners. There is work out there.
I think a lot of the kind of corporate jobs that are like middle management stuff, a lot of shit that you just do like basic Excel work, that's all going to be automated out pretty much in the next like couple decades.
Do you think you're going to have a job in 20 years' time?
In 20 years' time, I definitely think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What do you think your job will be? What kind of, like, work will the future hold?
I'm studying engineering right now, so hopefully something related to technology.
What about universal basic income, though?
Well, I read about that in a newspaper. Man, I mean,
I don't think that would suit a lot of people. There would be a lot of uproar. I don't think people were happy with that.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they be happy with that?
Because people work hard, so they want to be rewarded for the hard work they do. And then some people wouldn't be working at all, and then they'd be given the same that the people are working hard for. It doesn't really seem fair.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, they just want to sit on their ass, and they want to collect the you-know-what money. Now, as we know, if the government is going to say, here you go, people are just going to take it, right? And that's just how it is. But I want everybody to know, I came here in 1991, right? And I've been cleaning windows for a very long time. And I love my job. I'm a commercial window cleaner. This is what I do. I love my job. And don't think that there's no work out there, people. The work is out there.
We then had Max Smith speak to Eric Crampton from the NZ Initiative to see how he thinks the New Zealand economy is going.
New Zealand is in good stead internationally speaking. The economy is performing relatively well. A lot of other countries are facing structural government deficits and are having to face austerity. New Zealand's doing well. We don't have big structural deficits. In fact, we're looking at surpluses with potential for more spending to come then or tax breaks depending on which party ends up leading government after the election. On the downside, we've had a substantial housing crisis that's emerged in Auckland. National has had 9 years to deal with that. They have not dealt with it successfully, and that's causing macroeconomic problems for the country as a whole. So in addition to the obvious problems in Auckland, the Reserve Bank has had to keep interest rates higher than they otherwise would be to try and avoid having house prices blow out even further. This has had consequences for the real economy and the rest of the country.
And is that really a kind of a ticking time bomb in some way? I mean, are we going to have to address that, and is that going to hit the economy when eventually we do?
Well, National has finally put in place some measures to reform infrastructure financing. So there are now new bond programs out that will allow infrastructure to be put in. The barrier to Auckland's housing affordability has been getting the infrastructure laid out that would let council zone more liberally for more density and for more expansion into the suburbs. That hasn't been happening because of council's debt constraints. The new policy that's come in for infrastructure financing should start to ease things back, but it'll take a couple of years for that to get going, and National really should have done that 5 or 6 years ago. Now it's, they've put it in too late to be able to really see any of the benefits of it in this electoral term.
And if we can move to another issue around the economy. I mean, when we're looking at jobs, National likes to laud the fact that, you know, we have very low rates of unemployment compared to where we were, you know, a few years ago. But there's been a lot of research around the fact that there's high rates of Kiwis not in stable full-time work. So, I mean, is that a concern where you know, the wider society is kind of going?
The New Zealand job market has been performing very well. So we should look beyond just the unemployment rate, but also at labor force participation rates. So the unemployment rate is always the proportion of people who want to be in work who aren't able to find work. And you can have high unemployment rates when you have people coming out of long spells not being involved in work and then starting to look for work. They'll show up in the unemployment rate, but that can be a sign of a healthy economy if you've had a growing labor force participation rate, growing employment rates, which would be the number of people who are employed as a fraction of everybody, and sometimes that will have a higher unemployment rate associated with it. If you look at labor force participation rates and employment rates, more Kiwis are in work now than, well, we're at historic highs. If you look back through the data going through the mid-80s when all of this started, or the consistent data series started, more people are in work, or a greater proportion of people are in work, and more people are participating in the labor force. So in some ways, it's almost surprising that the unemployment rate isn't higher than it currently is. We've had a lot of people come in terms of migration, and we've had a lot of people that have been pushed into work requirements and job testing in benefits. So people who previously wouldn't have been in the labor force at all are now involved in the labor force because they have to be, and they'll either be showing up as employed or unemployed. So it's a bit surprising that the unemployment rate is as low as it is.
Another big issue seems to be taxes, so whether it's
We then spoke to party leaders to see their thoughts on the economy. First up, we spoke to Marama Fox from the Māori Party about their plans for their economic policies.
Well, I get really annoyed by everybody who says the tax, moving the tax thresholds only for the rich, because those lower threshold limits when they were raised immediately put more money into the hands of everybody on the lowest tax income bracket. And those people are the ones who absolutely need to have money in their hands so they can keep up with the cost of living. Any tax that then turns that around and makes the cost of living harder by putting a new petrol tax and so on that Labor want to do without actually telling us what they want to do is not eliminating poverty. It is giving with one hand and taking with the other. We need to make sure that we put living wages in the hands of all New Zealanders and that we index it to the median wage so that it continues to keep pace with the living costs in this country. Otherwise, just putting plasters on hardship and we are not actually eliminating poverty.
Do the Māori Party have specific tax policy, or do you see these issues being addressed through your other policies?
We sit at the Ministerial Committee on Poverty so that we can push the government, because we can have all the tax policies in the world, but unless you can convince the major party who holds the finance purses that that's what you should do, then it comes back to negotiating points. You know, we talked about alleviating tax, but we do want to actually see tax on sugar or sugary drinks, but that also is dealing with the symptoms of poverty, as teeth are an indicator of wealth in this country. But we've also at the same time said we need to have free adult doctors, dental visits once a year, free dental, complete dental until the age of 18, and then continue that on through your life with an annual checkup so that you can keep in touch with your teeth. I mean, people will see that as an extra tax burden, but we also at the same time want to eliminate GST off healthy produce food. I'd go so far as to say to eliminate it off any services to do with education and with health, as they do in England. Now, there are innovative taxation methods that you can use that help put more money in the hands of people and reduce the cost of living, and we get to see those types of measures being articulated well. I do think last night that Bill made very good points, was very comprehensive around the policies that they do have, but they've had that opportunity in government to put it together. I think that Jacinda's vision for the future is captivating, but it is also a little bit thin on the ground. What I do know coming out of that debate last night, that it is actually not the tussle between red and blue, it will be the tussle between the support parties and who they go with to form government. And so the power is actually in the hands of the support parties. And as was mentioned on AM this morning, I'd be encouraging everybody to put their party vote with the Māori Party to ensure that, and their electorate votes with our Māori seats, to ensure that no matter who's in government, there is an independent voice for Māori that will speak out on those issues and hold them to account.
We also heard from NZ First's Tracy Martin speaking on economy policy and immigration.
The biggest priority for us is actually to amend the Reserve Bank Act. The Reserve Bank Act, which was changed back in the 1990s, which only gave the Reserve Bank the opportunity to control the inflation and so on and so forth, we feel that that's too narrow. So a couple of things that we wanted to do, and the Right Honourable Winston Peters actually had the bill pulled from the ballot in the last Parliament, but it was defeated by the National Party in ACT. We want to give the dollar, for example, a cap and a floor so that we can ensure that our exporters can have some sort of surety about how high the dollar will go and how low the dollar will go. So that's probably one of the biggest economic policies we have.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because Winston Peters last month at a conference called on voters to choose between the smoke screen economy, as he called what the Treasury has put out, and the real one. I mean, are the Treasury really lying to us about where things are at the moment, where the dollar is?
I think what he's talking about is what you get from Treasury down in Wellington, which might be all fat, you know, numbers, and numbers can add up to anything. I used to do statistics, right? Numbers can be made to tell you anything. And when people start giving you percentages, you need to be really careful because percentages can hide realities. And what Winston was talking about, go down, like I was travelling around a whole lot of secondary schools in the lower part of the North Island just in the last 2 days last week, go around and actually have a talk to those people about what the real economy feels like to them. So those are the two differences. You can get the theory of an
economy.
Will
they have the understanding that, you know, our country's top economists and experts have at the Treasury? I mean, where do you think the state of things are?
Sorry, hang on a minute. That's a really interesting question. So what you're saying is that if the people are experiencing the fact that, and all the secondary students I spoke to wanted to know about where are the jobs for me, what we end up with is we end up with a government and all these theorists and so on down in Wellington saying, there's jobs, there's what, 200,000 more jobs. That's not their reality. That's not their reality on the ground. And that's not because they're any stupider than the people working in Treasury. That's because that's their real life, not the people working numbers. So you can work numbers as much as you want, but when you get down to the ground, to street level, the reality for the people on the ground is nothing like what is supposedly the good news numbers that are coming out of Treasury.
All right. Well, one set of numbers that New Zealand First is talking about is cutting immigration to net 10,000. I mean, you claim this isn't going to have a negative impact on the economy. How is that? Because we're currently at over 70,000, so that's a big drop.
That's right. We got 226,000 work visas that were handed out in 2016, 2017. We're expecting to hand out, what, if we carry on this way, they're expecting to hand out 243,000 work visas next year. At the same time, we've got 139,000 New Zealanders unemployed and 90,000 15 to 24-year-olds not in employment, education or training. So you can't just take the single thing, which is drop migration to 10,000 and then say, oh, no, that's the whole economy's going to fall over. Because if that is true, then we've been lied to by the national government for the last 9 years, because they've said growth is at 3% and it's got nothing to do with migration. Because they have argued again and again and again against the Right Honourable Winston Peters when he said, if you've got migration at 2%, you have to take that off what you've said is their economic growth. And they've said, no, they're not connected. So you can't have it both ways. Now, what we're saying is you drop migration to the highest level of skills that we need, which is the 10,000, for a period of time. Migration is something that a government uses. It turns up and it turns down as it needs to support its nation for growth or to support skill levels. What we're saying is we want to turn it down to around about 10,000. We want to pick up this 139,000 New Zealanders who are unemployed, the 90,000 15 to 24-year-olds, all those people who are underemployed as well. Let's remember that 139,000, if you've got an hour or 2 hours employment a week, you're not in those numbers.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BCasts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/BCasts.